Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I wasn't sure if it would go quickly. I wasn't sure if it would drag coming back off vacation, but there's been a lot to talk about. And I love July 4th. I love Independence Day. And so I'm enjoying these July 4th topics, four for the 4th, as we count down. And we're asking you to help us highlight some of the best features of the United States of America. Don't know what you're doing for your July 4th weekend. I know I got invited to a pool party, and other people I know are going on vacation or they're already on vacation. People making beach plans and maybe cookouts and barbecues. And some of you are saying that is America's best food. The foods that we are most known for, they're the ones that we can grill out in our backyards or at the beach. So kind of fun to think about the foods that we might be eating this weekend. America's finest. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you want to answer our question, Facebook works as well. What are America's best foods? What are America's unique foods? Because so often it feels like when I, well, now it's takeout. When I want to get takeout from a restaurant, or when I'm thinking about, you know, going out, when that was an option or when it will be an option again, it's Italian food or French cuisine. No, I'm just kidding. I'd never eat French cuisine, but still, that's a thing. It's Thai food, or it's Chinese food, or, I mean, there's so many other options that you very rarely hear, well, what about good old American food? And then it sounds funny coming out of my mouth. But what are the best foods that we have to offer here in the country? If someone comes in from another part of the globe and wants your recommendation for America's finest foods, what do you tell them? On Twitter or Facebook, and our phone number is 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, and we're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage gives you certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life. Rocket can.
Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night? You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
I am not surprised that when we asked you about America's pastimes on our last show, there were few answers that would point to the baseball diamond. Major League Baseball. It no longer seems as though it is America's favorite pastime. If we're just talking sports, it's been surpassed by football long ago. But even now, the way that baseball handled this pandemic and trying to bring back the games in the midst of this pandemic, the arguing, the infighting, the endless proposals, it turned a lot of people off. And now here we are. We've finally got a mandate from the commissioner to move forward. Players are reporting to their local markets, their home stadiums. They're going through testing. They're getting ready to start summer camp, quote unquote. So restart practices coming up before the end of the week. We've got games, theoretically, just a couple of weeks away. And here is the commissioner, Rob Manfred, coming out and destroying any semblance of excitement that I have with this peek behind the curtain that I did not need. So the commissioner on the Dan Patrick Show telling us, well, yeah, you know all those proposals? They were essentially a waste of time.
Some people have talked about longer seasons, 60 too short. The reality is, we weren't going to play more than 60 games, no matter how the negotiation with the players went or any other factor. 60 games is the outside of the envelope, given the realities of the virus.
I have two questions. They both start with why. Why, then, did you go through the back and forth, and even bother with all the proposals if you, as the commissioner, representing the owners, knew there were not going to be more than 60 games? Why ask the Players Association or wait for the Players Association to make these proposals for 114 games and then 80-something games and then 75 games? What a waste of your time and our time when you could have been on the field weeks ago. And my second why question is, why are you telling us this? Why? What do you hope to gain? What is the purpose? Why would you let us know that all of those negotiations, all of those proposals were really for naught? I mean, did he expect that honesty was the best policy and that we were just going to accept that as like, all right, then, well, cool. Glad we agreed on 60. I mean, come on. To me, that was, as much as a lot of this spring has been bad PR for baseball, that was a really dumb PR step to admit that. But that's the commissioner, Rob Manfred, on the Dan Patrick Show. Now, he continues on this campaign of how this is not what we wanted baseball to look like. This is not a great situation for our game. Regardless of whether or not we were ever going to play more than 60, this is less than optimal.
The fans aren't going to get an expanded postseason, which I think would have been good with the shortened season. And, you know, look, the players left real money on the table. They left $25 million worth of playoff pools, $33 million worth of salary advances. But that's what happens when you have a negotiation that, instead of being collaborative, gets, you know, into sort of a conflict situation.
And thus, Rob Manfred, in a roundabout way, answers the why. Why would you tell Dan Patrick this? Why would you admit all this? Well, because you want to circle back and point the finger at the Players Association and say they're the ones that made this such a mess. They're the ones who refused to collaborate. They're the ones that fought us tooth and nail. And because of that, we're left with something that we didn't want and that isn't great for either side. Okay, made me roll my eyes again. Where's the eye roll emoji? It's one of my favorites, actually. I think I use it more than any other. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Regardless of all of that, players are, in fact, reporting and getting ready for team workouts. Now, a lot of them have been able to do individual workouts. We did, though, see a stretch where baseball ordered all of the spring training facilities and all of the facilities that were open to be closed for deep cleaning, because there had been an outbreak of cases in, you know, various teams and team facilities. They wanted to try to start fresh. Derek Jeter with the Miami Marlins, he to me at least embodies some of the excitement that I hope these players feel as he talks about getting back to the actual game.
We want the players back on the field, and our players have been working extremely hard to get back on the field. So the guys are ready. I've witnessed a few of the workouts in person, and I've been in touch with Miggy over the last month or two. You know, he's our player rep, and our guys are ready to go. They're itching to go.
I hope that's the case. It would be hard for me to imagine that once they get on the field, when they get on the field, that all of this is forgotten. I don't think that's the case. We can forgive, but it doesn't mean we have to forget. Now, Derek Jeter also called the negotiations between baseball and the Players Association embarrassing. But if we're going to move forward and focus on baseball, if you're going to make some type of a season out of the remnants that we're left with, well, then the players have to get ready. And they said this is what they wanted. They wanted to play. They finally threw up their hands and said, just tell us when and where to show up and we will do it. So maybe, just maybe, if they bring the enthusiasm and the excitement, well, then fans may buy into that, or fans may feel that as though it's contagious. I'm not sure. I don't know. I've tried to get excited about it, and I'm just not there yet. Maybe when it gets to opening day, I will be. But yeah, I'm not at that point yet. Jeter also said, hey, we've been following the numbers. We've been following the cases. We're not just leaving that up to Major League Baseball. And we're trying to be proactive in Miami when it comes to combating the virus and keeping our facilities clean.
We recognized early on that this was spreading. So we took the initiative to shut down our complex in Jupiter there and towards the middle to end of spring training. And, you know, it started spreading pretty rapidly there. You know, recently we just opened our facilities, you know, in Jupiter and in Miami at Marlins Park here with restrictions in place.
He's got to show this leadership, and I think a lot of people will listen to him. And even though the Marlins haven't been this incredible like uptick in success since he took over, and there's been a lot of complaints about what he's doing, he still is a voice in Major League Baseball that players will certainly listen to, and his opinions carry a lot of weight. So it's good to hear from him, and I hope that he is setting a tone, not just for his franchise, but for other franchises too, because of who he is and what he represents in the not so distant past of Major League Baseball. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. One more with Derek Jeter. He's calling the negotiations embarrassing. At the same time, he's trying to find the silver lining with what happened over the last month.
MLB's done a great job putting these health and safety protocols in place. It's going to take a lot of responsibility. It's going to take a lot of discipline on everyone's behalf when they're away from the park. I mean, it's easy to test and make sure you're in a controlled environment when you're at the stadium, but you have to make sure you're disciplined when you're not here. So that's a message that we'll share with our not only our players, but our staff as well.
Now that I really, really appreciate from Derek Jeter, the fact that he's saying everyone has to take personal responsibility here. Everybody has to, because one guy, two guys, it could bring the whole thing down. And it's not like Orlando, where theoretically, I know that Damian Lillard is not so confident that guys will do this, but theoretically, if everyone stays inside the bubble, you would be safe from the virus, right? It can't just materialize out of thin air. This is not the Big Bang Theory and the virus just poof shows up in the middle of your bubble. If you don't let it in, and here's an analogy, and I'll use this only because I'm familiar with what's happening in Cuba. They didn't have the virus. They're on an island. There's no way for them to get the virus except for someone to bring it in. And so if you're going to use an island as kind of an example of the bubble and how it could work, unfortunately for the Cubans, they were still allowing European tourists, including Italians, in mid-March. Mid-March, as in after the United States had already shut down its ports and started to close things down and to take extreme cautions and extreme precautions. Mid-March, there were still European tourists that were traveling to Cuba. Well, that's how they got the virus. It didn't leap over the ocean and land on the island nation of Cuba. No, someone had to bring it there. And so with the Orlando bubble, the idea is you stay safe, you stay inside your bubble, you don't allow the virus to come in on your person or on your body. And if no one has it, well, then no one gets it. With baseball, it's different. Sure, it's easy to go through all the steps, as Jeter is saying, when you're at the complex, when you're working out. But it's on you, each individual player, each individual manager and coach, to be responsible and to make sure you don't take unnecessary risks, because you aren't going to be sequestered. You aren't going to be quarantined. And it's a big deal that baseball's trusting these guys. Now, remember, the players shouted down any type of a bubble. They were not interested in a bubble. They weren't interested in having their entire season take place in Arizona or splitting it up among Arizona, Texas, Florida. Interestingly enough, now three places that are having to backtrack on some of their phases and close things down because they're seeing spikes in the virus. And so it was the players who said, we're not going to stay in one place, in one bubble, stay in a hotel room, see no one else but our teammates, yada, 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 over the course of a season. Now, at the time, they didn't realize it was only going to be 60 games. It's actually not asking so much of them, much more than what the NBA is asking, right? Think about it. If baseball starts on July 23rd, 24th, that's kind of what they're targeting right now. We haven't seen a full schedule. But let's just say it does, in fact, start in 3 weeks. Well, then they could have been sequestered from, say, beginning of July to end of September for those teams that didn't make the playoffs. And we know there's not going to be an expanded postseason. You're just talking about July, August, and September. That's 3 months. Whereas you look at the NBA and those teams that make it to the finals are going to have to be in that bubble until the middle of October. Let's just say it goes game seven. October 12th, I think, was the date that they would have to be in place. I mean, it's essentially the same period of time. Now, again, the baseball union didn't realize that they were going to be only playing 60 games, and so they were fighting the bubble. At the time that they were talking about the bubble, it was a couple of months ago, and they thought there might be more like 100 games or 120 games. And obviously, that was not possible once they got done fighting. But the bubble might actually have been the best option if these guys can't handle their personal business. Now, we've seen it in golf. We've seen it in NASCAR. We've seen other sports do it with a couple of guys, you know, who had to be removed or had to withdraw. Even in UFC, what the very first event, one fighter gets the virus and he has to pull out. But they caught it in time. Can baseball players take that kind of responsibility? Can they do the same thing? Can they make sure that they put their teammates and even on a larger scale, the game above their own personal desires to whatever, to hang out with family, to go to the grocery store, to, I don't know, go to the beach. Now, they likely won't have as much time to go to the beach, but you get my point. They're not under lock and key. They're not sequestered in a bubble. They're allowed to go where they are allowed to go, and meaning like their state mandates. They're allowed to go out and do things if they wanted. I would highly recommend staying away from bars, but, you know, different people are willing to take different risks. It's just you really have to get a handle on the fact that if you take that kind of a risk, you could be affecting hundreds more people than yourself. And in fact, you could be affecting your entire industry. Remember, prorated salaries, they only get paid for the games they play. Maybe there's the incentive right there. What are America's finest foods? And I mean the foods that are uniquely American. Love to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Lots of answers on Facebook, so I'll get to those coming up. And then our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Dinwiddie's got it now. Into the front court. Drives, cut off by Embiid. Keeps the dribble. A lob at the rim, and Jordan with a powerhouse right-hand thunderous jam. And the Nets take an 11-point lead and a timeout called by the Sixers.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That's Chris Carino on the Brooklyn Nets radio network. The Nets have been in the news a bunch lately because of the fact that they've got multiple players who have opted out, who decided not to participate in Orlando. And, you know, I do absolutely agree that it's an individual decision and that every, in this case, man, also in the WNBA, though, they're getting ready to put a season together, and they may have women who decide they don't want to play because of risks with their families. So I believe it's an individual decision. But there's also this part of me, I try to put myself in that position, and I can't imagine backing out on it. I can't imagine, because I'm so team-wired and team-oriented, I can't imagine deciding that I wouldn't do what my team was going to do, and that I wouldn't be all in with the team. But that's just me. I mean, it's something different for everyone. Certainly, if you consider that your responsibility is a parent or a son or a daughter, and you have family members who might be at risk, whatever the case is, it's not as though basketball is the only thing in their lives, just like sports talk radio is not the only thing in my life, which is why we don't stick to sports here on the show. It's interesting to think about it. Like, would I consider opting out? Would I don't know. If I was a teammate of one of these guys, would it bother me? And so these are kind of the questions that I was thinking about recently. Now, Brooklyn is right now in the 7th seed in the Eastern Conference, but of course, heading to Orlando among the top 22. And yet you've got guys who are either completely opting out or are at this point considering whether or not they will. Sean Marks he's been asked about guys on his team deciding that they won't play.
This is unprecedented times where things are changing, not by the hour, but by the minute, right? When we get new news, I think it's a country and a world as a whole here where every news channel you turn on, there's numbers that are raising and rising rapidly and so forth. And you know, we need a reminder that this thing is here to stay and it's going to be here for a while. So we all need to do our part.
He's the general manager of the Brooklyn Nets. And so far it's been Wilson Chandler. It's been a couple of others who've decided that they aren't going to participate. And that obviously affects the team that Sean and the Nets put on the court.
Regarding the particular players that have tested positive and decided to opt out, our job here is to support them and their families in any way possible. We realize it's completely their decision. This is voluntary. This is by no means mandatory that people show up in Orlando in the bubble. And everybody has their own reasons as to why this may not be a fit for them.
So far, Spencer Dinwiddie and DeAndre Jordan have tested positive. Jordan has decided he will not compete in Orlando, so he and Wilson Chandler are out. The reports that I've heard would indicate that Spencer Dinwiddie is likely to play, but we haven't heard confirmation either way. But again, DeAndre Jordan, Wilson Chandler, both out. Of course, there's no Kevin Durant. There's no Kyrie Irving. Kyrie among those players who were kind of vocal, leading a charge that maybe it's better not to have a season whatsoever. And his wasn't about the virus. His was about boycotting or at the very least not giving America a distraction when right now so much of the focus is on the protests for social injustice. And in the wake of the George Floyd killing, you know, why take away from how much effort and focus is going into, you know, shining a light on this dark problem in the United States. And so for whatever reason, you've got guys who are going to opt out. Some it's because of the social injustice. Some it's because of personal reasons. Others it may be because of the virus. So it's a personal decision. And I do appreciate that the unions and the leagues have worked this out so that guys can't be overtly punished for this, penalized. You know, they're not, you can't cut a guy because he isn't willing to participate in Orlando. Now, could there be backlash? Could you lose? And I don't mean direct, but indirect. Could there be, you know, fallout from it? Could you end up losing your spot because someone else takes your spot? Well, yeah, that's a possibility. If you're not an elite player, if you're not the cream of the crop, you know, you think about the NFL, and I was talking about this later, I was talking about this earlier, where, you know, the majority of players, they don't spend 20 years. I mean, careers are cut short by injuries. They're cut short by the intense competition. There are no guaranteed contracts. So that's why these guys are always looking for the guaranteed money when they sign. And so it's a different animal where if you give up your spot, you may never get it back again. And you can lose a job to injury. We see that happen all the time. Right now, it's not as much of a risk to give up your job, to opt out and to say, here's my reasons why. And certainly with the NBA, the NHL, we're not talking about full seasons here. Most of these guys have been paid the majority of their money. Sure, they're losing out on whatever money they might get by participating in Orlando, but the season is largely done. And so it's a different animal than the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of the NFL, you turn on the tube these days and you find classic sporting events all over the place. Well, coming up on Thursday at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. You can take a look back on some football history and relive an epic moment. Patriots traveling to Heinz Field to battle the Steelers in the 2004 AFC Championship game. Quick brownie points if you can send me a tweet or a Facebook post and tell me exactly what happened there. Don't miss NFL Rewind on CBS Sports Network. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Monty, who's in Dallas. Welcome to After Hours.
Thank you so much, Amy. How's everything going for you?
It's, you know, it's going. And that's actually a positive thing. As long as it's going, I can stay hopeful.
Yeah, that's right. Well, listen, I don't know if these have already been suggested, but I've got some great, I've got three submissions for the American food.
Okay.
All right, first, barbecue, Texas barbecue, brisket.
Ooh, brisket, so good, so good.
And that's probably my number one. But I'll say any seafood because the ocean, you know, is everywhere. And anything that comes out of the ocean, you know, the United States has done some really good job on some seafood dishes. So I would think that would be American.
Interesting, because I talked about seafood earlier, and I wasn't really sure. Can we claim seafood as ours?
Yeah, I know it. I guess we could, you know, on our coast, our coastal areas, we probably can. And then the last, I don't know if this is, but I would say sub sandwiches, you know, like the New York sub sandwiches, or I think those are American.
Yeah, I don't know that they're exclusive to New York. I feel like you can get good subs, probably better subs elsewhere. But yeah, so I mean, I've never had a sub outside the United States, so I don't know why not.
Yeah. All right. Well, those are my three submissions.
All right, Monty. I like how you throw in the Texas barbecue brisket because Texas does it the best. Is that why?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right. Good to talk to you. Thanks for your phone call.
Hey, no problem. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. So we'll get to some of your submissions, your finest American foods. And here's the funny part. They're not really fine foods. Most of these, and I kind of like it. Now, I don't think all of America is blue collar, but there are a lot of us who identify middle class blue collar. We work hard for our money. We earn that paycheck and we like solid. What's the way to, let's solid, stick to the ribs type of food, right? I mean, we're not really into foo-foo. Those of us in the middle, and I kind of put myself in there, I guess. Those of us who are blue collar in the American middle class, we work hard and we take our lunch pails to work. Do people still take lunch pails? Now you get these like soft sided, padded cooler bags.
Bougie would be the word.
Yeah. But I feel like we like solid foods. Foods that can put, well, what is it? Put some meat on your bones type of a thing. We're not into these kind of foo-foo dishes or, as Chris says, bougie dishes. If you're talking American foods, these are, I mean, they're tasty. Maybe they have a little more fat to them, but that's all right. We're okay with that. I think in spring of 2020, we exercise more. So that was also good. So we could earn this time eating American foods. But yeah, they're kind of good. They're hearty. Oh, there's a good word for it. They're hearty foods. What are American foods? What is a food that you identify almost exclusively with the United States of America? Like we'll lend it to you around the rest of the world, but it belongs to us. It's like our football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks for joining us.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Every now and then, okay, I'll be honest, it happens more and more. I see these headlines and I open up thinking like, oh, maybe this is something we can talk about in the show. And it turns out to be nothing, like actually nothing. So I'll just be honest, this is on CBSSports.com, and it's, you know, it's one of the headlines that kind of caught my attention. And I thought, oh, well, maybe this is something that would be worth talking about. Tom Brady says football is fun again. All right. Well, I wasn't really sure. So it turns out that back in April, it's July. Back in April, Tom Brady sent his personal throwing coach, maybe you heard his name, Tom House, a text that said, "Football's fun again." That's it.
Sorry.
House was interviewed by GQ, and he revealed the body of this text message from Brady. All right, whatever. But you're seeing that more and more. You know what else? The number one story, at least in terms of the front page of CBSSports.com, was women's soccer. And I don't mean USA. I mean the NWSL. How about that? Good for you. NWSL soccer, women's soccer is back in the United States. We're waiting for MLS. But hey, if you fill that void, you deserve to get the coverage. And I think it's fantastic that golf and NASCAR, and I mean, I'm not a UFC fan, but they're taking advantage. I mean, Dana White has done a great job of getting them into this window. And now the NWSL, which, by the way, is the league that J.J. Watt's wife plays in. And so he's been all about it. They're out there. They're playing. They're not getting a ton of attention. But hey, some headlines are better than no headlines. And I just applaud any sport that wades into this arena. I mean, it's scary and it's difficult and it's challenging. And you're flying blind in many cases. And one false move or two false moves and the whole thing could come tumbling down around you. But you got to try. In my opinion, you've got to try. I know I hear from some of you every single day on social media. Shut the whole thing down. No sports in 2020. Why? Why not try? In my opinion, if you try and fail, it's better than to never have bothered to try at all. And there may be some failures. Some of these sports may not be sustainable. We'll find out. But at least they're trying. And that means a lot to me. Not just because I work in the business, because as I've said to you, there are hundreds of thousands of people whose livelihoods depend upon the sports industry. So come on, let's at least try. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Twitter, Facebook, also on the phones. What are America's finest foods? If you're recommending American food to someone, what do you tell them? What's the best that we have to offer? 855-212-4227. Our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico can already save you. So hop to it. Visit geico.com to learn more. Let's talk to Gary, who's in California. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy.
Hello.
Again, I love your show.
Thank you, sir.
The thing I think would be the most American that I could offer someone would be biscuits and country sausage gravy.
Ooh.
A couple of side eggs.
I do love eggs.
Yeah.
Biscuits and gravy and eggs. Breakfast.
You can even throw bacon in it, even though you have the sausage gravy. You can throw bacon on the side, too.
But, again, hearty foods. Foods that fill you up.
Correct. And I was just thinking one thing. I think the Houston Rockets are lucky that they're in a bubble, but because if they were in the city, James Harden would be spending his day and nights at a strip club every day.
Oh, I don't know much about Harden's off-court activities, but I suspect that he's not, if that's accurate, that there are guys who are going to be very tempted when they're not playing. If it's not every day, they've got some time off. They're going to be tempted. And I thought it was interesting what Damian Lillard said on Wednesday. Like, he has pretty, like, doesn't have a lot of confidence. Has a pretty low level of confidence when it comes to guys actually staying in the bubble, because when they have freedom, they don't follow the rules. And
right.
So why would they follow the rules now?
Harden spent $1 million at one Atlanta strip club in one night.
Huh.
So, and that was all over social media. So that's the only reason I brought it up.
Oh, I just, you know, you should be careful what you read on social media, Gary.
Exactly right. Thank you, Amy. I'll try not to do that anymore.
Oh, no, you're fine. Thanks so much for calling. Didn't know this about James Harden. But again, I'm quite certain that if that is his want and his off-court activity, he is not alone. Ron is listening in New Jersey. Ron, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, it's wonderful to talk to you, and I have two questions, if I may, one with your theme and one about the NFL.
Okay.
Okay. So the first one is, and these are probably great trivia questions for your party this weekend. Who is the first non-American, before we were America, that needed staples and presented gifts to the people who actually had the freedom of this land, and his statue has been torn down, but it's been protected in New York City.
I have no idea. But what does that have to do with sports? Does that have a sports?
Well, no. We're going to get to that. Okay. So the first we're talking about the most important foods. The first most important food is corn, and Christopher Columbus presented gifts to the American natives.
Gotcha. Yep.
Okay. These are the kinds of things that, you know, kind of like facts that all these people marching.
Okay. No, that's not. We don't talk about that on my show. I appreciate what you're saying, and I like the corn aspect, but we're not going to go political, and we're not going to debate about things that will divide my audience right in half, sir. I'm not interested in that, but thank you.
But corn is the first staple.
That I can see, yes, for sure. We love corn.
Okay, so then I guess you won't discuss the Washington Redskin helmet.
That's not so much political. Everyone has their own opinions. I don't feel like I'm really qualified to talk about it because I'm not Native American. So it doesn't offend me. But if there are people that it does offend and the Redskins, the organization will listen to them. Now the organization has said in the past that they have heard from Native Americans who don't want to change it. So, I mean, it's really about whichever side is louder, whichever side gets more of a push, and maybe this is the climate where it changes. But honestly, I don't feel like I'm qualified to talk about it because I'm not someone that it would offend. And who am I to say, oh, it doesn't offend me, so why not leave it? I mean, it's just one of those ignorant opinions, you know?
In Congress. Because it's a congressional issue.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of things. I mean, covers a lot of different areas. Ron, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. 855-212-4227. Ron Rivera was asked that question in his interview on AM 670 The Score, and he kind of deferred too. He said, if I can remember correctly, said something about the fact that, you know, it's something that right now he is going to talk about. And I mean, he just got hired by the franchise, and you could imagine his position. But that's what I come back to. I mean, I'm not Native American. I'm not offended by it, but who am I to say what should offend someone and what shouldn't? I mean, that is not my space. And I feel like it's tone deaf to say, well, because I'm not offended by it, nobody else should be. So if there are people who are offended by it and it's something that they believe should, in fact, be not only a change to the name, but it should be something that, again, is a push, not just on a local level, but a national level. I mean, I've always felt that way, that enough people got upset about it, enough people were vocal about it, that eventually, you know, that public pressure would force Dan Snyder or Congress or whoever makes the final say, I don't actually know, to change it. But I do know that the Redskins organization has indicated that they've got people from the Native American community that don't consider it to be offensive. So, right. I'm kind of fish out of water when it comes to that. I mean, I would never presume to say, oh, well, it doesn't offend me, so let's just leave it. I mean, that's naive. Oh, actually, Chris is telling me, he's got the Ron Rivera soundbite. So this is AM 670 The Score, our Chicago affiliate, and they asked him about the name Redskins.
I think that's a discussion for another time. And again, I feel that a guy that's, you know, my age, my era, you know, that was always part of football, the name of the Washington Redskins.
Do you mean another time from this radio show, because, or another time with the moment? Because like a lot of monuments are changing, people are changing.
I think it's all about the moment and the timing. But you know, I'm just somebody that's from a different era. That when football wasn't such a big part of the political scene. You know, that's one of the tough things for me too. Is I've always wanted to try to keep that separate. You know, people have wanted me to get involved in politics. You know, while I was coaching, and I kept telling them, you know, it's not for me to get up here and influence people. You know, I have my beliefs. I know what I think. You know, I support the movements. You know, I support the players. I believe in what they're doing. And again, you know, I think that there are certain elements and certain things that's all about the timing and the best time to discuss those things.
The first time I heard that, it felt more like a deferral to me. And that's okay. I mean, he goes on to say, I'm from a different era. I'm not sure I'm the one who should be answering this question. It's always been part of the football lore for me. It's what I grew up on. But he also says it's about, and I don't know what he means by it's about the timing. And neither did the host who asked him on AM 670 The Score to clarify. You could tell he's uncomfortable with it. And think about the line that he is balancing. He's working for Dan Snyder. Dan Snyder's the guy who hired him. And he also is trying not to offend the people who are offended by Redskins. So it's a tough situation for Ron Rivera to be in as someone who's just joined the franchise in the last few months. And again, I mean, I can make some big statement about how, oh yeah, it needs to be changed, but I'm not the one who's qualified to talk about it. If there are enough people who are offended by it, and if there's a big enough push, then it will get changed, because that's what public pressure is all about. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. What are America's foods? The ones that we can call our own. We've got 1 hour to go. Thanks for being part of the show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.